Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
We've got a great broadcast for you today. Last week, we brought you part one of a message called Foreigner in a Strange Land, preached by my friend, Pastor Scott Arderi, our guest speaker who visited us from Ohio recently. But before we get back into the awesome message that he delivered at Christian Apostolic Church, I want you to listen for just a few seconds to what it sounds like when the glory of God is falling and the power of God is being made manifest in our church as people are dancing and shouting and praising God, being filled with the Holy Ghost, receiving healing from the Spirit of the Lord. This is what it sounds like. Just listen. Sir or ma'am that's listening to us right now, if you've never experienced the power of God, and if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you want a change in your life, I encourage you to come out and feel the touch of Almighty God at Christian Apostolic Church. You will be blessed and you will not regret it. We've got a great broadcast for you today. My friend, Pastor Scott Arderi, drove all the way in from Ohio to come and visit us and was our special guest speaker at that very church service you were just listening to a moment ago. And we're going to bring you that powerful message, or at least as much of it as time will allow, in just a few moments. But before we do, let's play some great music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project entitled Restoration, this is track 8. The name of the song is I've Got You Covered.
A scene so familiar at the old 5 and 9. A little boy waiting, his turn in line. And with eyes so intent, he proudly displayed the candy he'd buy. The money it saved. The girl at the counter wasn't sure what to do, 'cause the money was less than the price that was due. Then a stranger spoke up from his place in line, said whatever he's short, just take it and add it to mine. I've got you covered, I'll pay the difference. You don't have to worry at all. Whatever the cost is, I'll go the distance. If you fall, I will catch you. You know I won't let you feel like you're there all alone. I've got you covered. To explain just how far I've come, yet how little has changed. I still long to hold what seems so out of reach, only to find out it's not what it seems. I come to the Father alone and afraid, in need of forgiveness, yet it's so far away. I cry out for mercy, a child so beneath, and with a voice of compassion, the Father calls out to me. I've got you covered, I'll pay the difference. You don't have to worry at all. Whatever the cost is, I'll go the distance. If you fall, I will catch you. You know I won't let you feel like you're there all alone. I've got you covered. I know what you're facing. I see where you're standing.
you covered. Yeah. Got you covered. Yeah.
You didn't catch that last part. For the people had a mind to work. I told you in the beginning, and I want to say again, you have got to catch the vision of your pastor. You have got, there is nothing like strength in number. He may run himself, and I'm not saying he does this, but he could run himself in the ground, trying to make the work of the Lord go forward. He may grab the few and the faithful, but I'm telling you, if the church will catch the vision, how do I catch the vision? Pray for the vision. Pray for the vision. Do you know when I was about, I'll be 39 this year, and when I was about 20 years old, I began to pray. I remember my first house that I bought is a little dinky house in Cleveland. And I remember the spare bedroom I used to go in, I began to pray, God, give me a burden for people. God, give me, and I would say, God, give me a burden that would wake me up at night. Little did I know what God was going to do. I would wake up, and still do to this day, I wake up out of my bed sick for people. I go to bed sick for people. If I may just be transparent with you, I've been sick all week in my stomach because of some things that some of our folks are dealing with. That's not a bad thing. Why? Because when God puts that burden upon you, it says, hey, somebody's got to do something. Don't just sit here and be sick. Find yourself a place to pray. Get a hold of the answer. Get a hold of the God that has the answer. Somebody's got to respond when God lays it on our heart. I'm almost done reading. I don't know where I left off. Here we go. In verse 6, he says, we built the wall, and the wall was joined together. People had a mind to work. And it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem. Listen. You have got to catch this verse 8. They conspired to come and fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. They didn't care about the Jews. They had lived with these Jews for the last 100 or so years after Babylon destroyed them and destroyed the city. But what they cared about, oh, I wish somebody would catch what I'm saying to you. What the enemy cared about was progress in the kingdom of God. The enemy cared that the people had a mind to work. The enemy cared that the people caught the vision. He cared they were rebuilding the walls, that the breaches were being stopped. I believe with all my heart, and maybe it's not here in your church, but I know it's in ours. The enemy has breached the walls of the church. I believe it for doctrine has been under attack for a long time. Truth has been under attack for a long time. The Holy Ghost has not been necessary for a long time. You don't need to baptize somebody. That's not necessary. That's not important for these things have happened for a long. Our young people are being taken. They're being pillaged. You don't believe me? Read 2 Timothy. Put up 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. It may be 5. I want you to see this verse, and I want to see if you've ever really caught the meaning behind it. Am I okay on time? Chapter 3, verse 6. Now, you understand this is a prophetic passage talking about the last days. Perilous times shall come. Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But look at verse 6. For of this sort are they, talking about these spirits that drive these things. For of this sort are they that creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. I don't know about out here, but I know up by us, these poor young girls, they can get involved in relationships at 15, 16 years old. Do you know am I okay for a second? Do you know when young women between the ages of 14 and 15 begin to become sexually active? Do you know 66% of them that have been polled have found themselves verbally or physically abused, choked, punched?
when they become sexually active at 14 and 15. And at 16 and 17, that number drops to somewhere around 45 or 48%. And then when they hit 18, the number drops around 33%, which is still pretty high. But why, oh why, would young women let themselves be treated like that? Because when you fall into lust, there's a spirit that takes over, and it's looking to rob our young women, not only of their purity, but of their ability, of their mind, of their security, of their stability. I see it over and over again. I watch young women. I watch their lives ruined. But I do an exercise in the classroom, and I ask them to describe their dream date or their dream guy or dream gal. And I teach the 9th and 10th graders. And of course, nice abs. If I may just be nice southern hemisphere. These are the answers I get. And that was cleaning it up. Nice. Other things. Blonde hair, blue eyes. I tell these girls, well, if all you want to do, if you just want a guy going after you because of the way you look, you're going to be in trouble here in about 20 years. Ladies, forgive me, but ladies know their bodies change, especially after children. It's the truth. You get stuck in it for the wrong reason, you're going to be in trouble. You really are. They're going to be dropping you like cold turkey, looking for some young honey who's a whole lot better looking than you now. I hope young honey's okay from the pulpit. I do a little worse than that at home. But so they describe this dream date and blonde hair, blue eyes, and six pack. All these things are, and I say, okay, if you had to choose between this dream guy or dream girl and this little nerdy guy, who goes and he opens the door for you and he holds your hand and calls you sweetheart. Every guy will open the door for you in the beginning, girls. Every guy will call you honey in the beginning and tell you how pretty you are. Be wary if a guy tells you how pretty you are. Because he might be trying to flatter you. Is that a bad thing? Sure is, because when young girls lose their heart, they lose control of it. I said, if you had to choose this guy or a guy just slaps you around, maybe only a couple times a year, that's not bad. He just slaps you around a couple times a year. And so I said, which would you choose? And one girl, she says, well, I guess it would depend on how many times he slapped you. I was shocked. I said, you mean to tell me you'd be willing to subject yourself to that? This is where verse 6 comes in. It's a very powerful, prophetic verse for this day, in my opinion. So let me get on, and I'll get back to that. Okay, let's start in verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up, breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth. And they conspired, to hinder it. I wish somebody would take that scripture home and understand everything that you experience as a church and as an individual is only because Satan wants to stop what God is doing in this hour. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Wait a minute. You're praying again? Come on now, Pastor. We got prayer on Monday, and we got prayer on Thursday. And you want us to come in Wednesday before church and pray. And you want us to come in a half hour early on Sunday and pray. When is too much prayer? You cannot have too much prayer. God is the answer to every of life's problems. When you get a hold of God, you've got the answer. It might not always be easy to pray. It might not always be easy, but you got to make yourself. You know why it's not easy? Because Satan is trying to stop the rebuilding of the walls in your life. So they made prayer unto our God, and they set a watch against them day and night. They didn't just go in the prayer room and then go home and go have a good time. But they were on guard. Bible says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. It's very hard if I'm... can just be candid again. It's very hard for a world that's caught up in pleasures and fun to watch and pray. It's very hard for a world that's addicted to electronics and addicted to computers and addicted to Facebook and addicted to Farmville and addicted to all this. Man, is it okay if I say garbage? It's very hard. It's very hard to watch and pray. The enemy knows we love our technology. He knows we love our cell phones. He knows we love all of these things. All he's got to do is give you more, and you he don't. All and he knows you can't pray. You try and pray, phone rings. Hello, hold on 1 second. I'm praying. Is that okay? Or how about this one? You probably don't see this here, but how about this one during prayer on Sunday night? Oh God. Oh God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. We need a move of God. I'm just being honest. I hope that's all right. Listen, young people, you can break the addiction of some of this garbage. It's all right. I've got a phone. I like to do fun things. But I've also found out there's a time I've got to get a hold of God. If not from my family, I've got people that are suffering. I've got people that are hurting. How can I be happy, O King, when I've got people that are suffering? So they prayed, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. They lost their oomph in the middle of the building project. I found that out when we built our church. You lose your momentum and it's gone. And they lost it. Now look at this. Once the people begin to say, hey, pastor, we're out of steam here. You're pushing us too hard. Guess what the next verse is? And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them. You may not put those two verses together, but I do. Anytime the devil knows we're about ready to throw in the towel, anytime he knows that we're getting weary and we're getting tired, and come on, pastor, I hear this all the time. How much is too much? Well, when you ask that, the next time you're on Facebook for 4 hours, you give me the answer. Now listen, you don't have to clap if you don't want to. I'm being honest. But hear this. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm really not. I'm just trying to be real with you. Because I've found it's going to be pretty hard to keep my walk with God if I'm distracted in everything else in life. We got a young woman. I came to her during revival about a year and a half ago. And I walked up to her. She was on a platform singing. I said, for the next 6 months, God don't want you in a committed relationship. You know what she said? She turned around as tears began to roll down her face, and she shook her head, yes. She was in love with a boy who was not serious about God. Am I okay? I know I'm stepping on careful territory here. She was in love with a boy who was not serious about God. And so for six months, she did this. She did this. She stayed away from him, told him we can't date. Maybe we can talk once in a while sometimes, though that's bad because sometimes you just got to cut it off. So we got to about the 5.5 month mark, and you know what she started saying to me? Well, such and such date, I can go on a date again, right? You know the part you missed where she asked my permission to go on a date. Now, she don't need my permission to go on a date, but you never go wrong. Never go wrong going to your pastor and saying, pastor, what do you think? Now, don't go ask him what he thinks and then just blow it off. He's there for a purpose. So I said to her, you know, maybe God only gave you a 6-month moratorium to see if you could do it. Now he wants you to get rid of it. You know what she did? She began to cry again. Today, over a year and a half later, she's completely eliminated him out of her life. This girl is 20 years old. She has kept her purity for these 20 years, and she's one of the greatest examples in our church to young women that we have. One of the greatest godly young women, loves God, very humble and sincere. You can do it. You can do it, young ladies. Young men, you can do it. Just get your focus on the right thing, which is heaven. Get your focus on the things of God. He'll bring you the right guy. He'll bring you the right girl. Somebody who loves God, who will pray beside you. You don't have to drag them to the altar. Let me try and finish. Our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them, cause their work to cease. So they began to devise this plan to do a sneak attack. And for time, I'll just expound for a moment. Because Nehemiah went and prayed, God showed them the attack and the trickery. Come on. Bible talks about all kinds of snares and traps being laid. And the problem is, many people don't even know they've been caught in the trap. Some do after they get caught. Some are in a trap and they still don't realize they're in a trap. I got a sister that said to me, she said, I don't know why I keep going back to this guy. He's choked me almost to the point of passing out. He's called me up and said, I will kill you and your whole family. And she said, I don't know why I keep calling him. I said, I do. And she kept talking. I said, shut up for a minute. Didn't you just hear what I said? You don't know. I do. Let me help you. Let me help get you through this. When you're in a trap, it's very hard to find the answers. That's why you've got to rely upon the church. Rely upon your pastor. Rely upon God. Don't go to your buddies and aren't serving God, asking them why what's going on in your life. You go to the man of God. You go to the woman of God. I'm not being funny. What's the goal here? The goal is to make it. Him that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. There's going to be some trouble. They sang about it a little bit ago. But if we know where to go. And so, Nehemiah, he didn't just pray and say, okay, God, it's up to you now. He prayed and he went to work. He said, all right, y'all going to work. You're going to hold a sword. And if there's trouble, you go ahead and come running. And you're going to work and you're going to have weapons with you. And so it was work. That's what it is. Sometimes letting God bless you and cause you to prosper becomes work on your behalf. You can't just come to the altar. And I believe that God can do instantaneous deliveries. But God only delivers when we want to be delivered. Sometimes we got to contribute something, like a little action. Kind of. So listen. So look at verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We are separated upon the wall, one far from the other. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Here's what he says. He said, listen, we're spread out. We can't always be together. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to put trumpet bearers all along the wall where the men are working. And if somebody blows a trumpet over here, that means they're being attacked. Come running. Hey, you love your cell phones? Best thing you could use it for is to blow the trumpet when you're under attack. Best thing you could do, use it is devise a plan and a strategy. You can't do it on your own. We are spread out. We're strong here, but sometimes we leave out there and we go out into a world that's wicked, a world that's vicious, a world that wants to destroy everything that God is doing and has done. And sometimes it makes you weary. Develop a strategy. Find a trumpet. Sound it loud. Call somebody up. Pray for me today. I need prayer today. I'm feeling weak. There's nothing wrong with being weak. There's nothing wrong with having a bad day. There's nothing wrong with being weary. That's a part of the battle. Now, as I already said, I believe the walls of the church have been breached. That's just my belief, and you may feel differently. You say, well, how? How do you think we have umpteen different religions? God never intended there to be 17 different ways, or 17 different paths, or 17 different doctrines. Jesus did not die for that. There was one plan, one path, one purpose that we must stick by. We cannot allow our minds to be twisted. We cannot allow our minds to be deceived. Why? Because once you infect the church, once you begin to infect truth, once you begin to bleed the life out of the church, which is not your breath, it's the Spirit of the Lord. Once you begin to preach the unimportance, and that's not necessary, and this thing, hey, some things might not be necessary, but they sure are good and helpful. I know probably your pastor, he just sounds like me, had read some of these articles. But let me just share a couple with you. This couple in UK, they were denied permission to adopt a child in the United Kingdom by the three judges on the Equalities and Human Rights Commission. Let me just tell you something. I don't know if you have a keyboard or something, they want to come. But there is no rights for the church anymore in the world's eyes. There are no rights. You have no rights. Equal rights, that doesn't pertain to you. Just being honest. And so the Equalities and Human Rights Commission denied this couple the liberty to adopt because their children would be at risk of being infected by Christian morals and beliefs. Infected. You say, well, that's over there. And I'm not going to get political on you, but when we got judges, that are looking to other countries and their Supreme Courts and their rulings to make our own. You hear about the preacher that was arrested in California a couple weeks ago? Anybody hear it? Walked out just reading his Bible. People were standing in line out the BMV, outside and closed. And they were in line, and he just began to read his Bible. Security guard comes up, says, "Please leave." He says, "I'm sorry, I'm exercising my rights." Security guard should have said, "Just right there. You ain't got no rights, son. You're a Christian." So he leaves. Police, California High Patrol walks up about 10 minutes later, walks right up to him, grabs the Bible out of his hand while he reads, threw it at somebody else, and said, "You're under arrest." He said, "For what?" "Preaching to a captivated audience." Well, they couldn't get out of line. They couldn't lose their place in DMV. That's not fair. Now, you know, those little things, you kind of wonder and sometimes you kind of chuckle, but we've got a whole lot of hints on where this country is going. We've got a whole lot of hints. I believe, and this is just me, in my lifetime, I'll see preachers arrested in their pulpits. I believe it. You know why? The walls of the church have been breached. It's all going to be done in the name of rights, civil rights. It's all going to be done in the name of those things. That's just my belief. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you we live in a very sensitive hour, an hour where the church has got to rise up. Do you know a estimate of, in 2010 by research company called Open Doors UK estimated 100 million Christians face persecution every year around the world by Muslims, by Buddhists. 100 million persecution and death. My Bible says that you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Not for the gospel's sake, the name of Jesus Christ. You go out and you preach anywhere, just don't speak that name. We don't want to offend anybody. People tell me you don't preach religion and politics in public. You know what I say? You're okay with the politics thing, but not on the religion thing. You ain't shutting me up. The moment the devil can get you to shut up, the moment he can shut your mouth, is the moment he's won. So listen, I'm seeing things all over the world. I'm watching our young people under attack. I'm watching the church under attack. I'm watching doctrine and truth under attack. And what the world needs now, not tomorrow, but today, is a whole lot of Nehemiahs. The world needs some young person that will rise up and they'll say, "Not me, not in my hour, not in my time. Amen. I'm watching my friends die and go to a devil's hell. I'm watching them sell out to crack and marijuana." Don't tell me that's not bad. That's the entry level into everything. I don't care if they want to legalize in California so they can get their tax dollars. It is corrupt. It will corrupt you. It will lead you. I've been in law enforcement. I know where it goes. I'm watching everything being taken from us. The pastors are under attack all over this great nation. Let me read this to you because your pastor probably was too humble to read it. 80% of pastors say they have insufficient time with their spouse and that ministry has a negative effect on their family. 40% report a serious conflict with a parishioner once a month. 75% report they've had a significant stress-related crisis at least once in their ministry. 56% of pastors' wives say they have no close friends. Pastors who work fewer than 50 hours a week are 35% more likely to be terminated. I told our church when I read this, I said, "Not me." We founded our church. My bylaws say you can't kick me out, so just try.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.